Good evening, I'm Yvonne Stapp for Science for the Public, and I welcome you to Contemporary Science Issues and Innovations. Tonight, we have a special treat, how science fiction has anticipated and inspired a good number of things in science. Our guest, David Toomey, is a professor of English literature at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, and he's also the co-director of the English Department's Professional Writing and Technical Communications Program. He's a prize-winning author of a number of science books for the general public. A few years ago, Dr. Toomey discussed some of his books, one of which was on time travel. Tonight, Dr. Toomey discusses science fiction and some of the discoveries, concepts, and issues that have shaped modern life and modern science. This presentation is via a distance connection, and it is a great honor to welcome David Toomey once again.
Okay, I'm going to talk about the role of science fiction and how it has influenced scientists and engineers. Many people have discussed this before and talked about this before, so this is going to be my own take, and it's probably likely a bit idiosyncratic. E.M. Forster wrote a short story called The Machine Stops. And Machine Stops is about a world in which most people live underground and they live in cells and communicate with each other mostly via kind of a video hookup. They live for the most part alone, they are isolated, and most of the human population is doing this. The Machine Stops in many ways anticipated the internet culture that we live in and even predicted social and emotional isolation. What's astonishing about The Machine Stops is the year it was written, 1909. This is well before the advent of television and a century before the advent of the World Wide Web and the internet. So what's to be said here? Science fiction really can anticipate not just technology, but technological problems or social problems, or human problems that are produced by technology, some of which are unanticipated. I mean, so let's back up a bit. A definition of science fiction would be a good place to start. Science fiction is fiction whose plot turns or pivots on or is somehow based on a scientific fact or principle or perhaps theory. It differs from fantasy in this respect. In fantasy, no scientific explanation is needed when a dragon produces fire out of its mouth or a person puts on an invisibility cloak. That kind of stuff probably not accepted in most science fiction, and most science fiction purists wouldn't allow it. I want to just talk through a few rather well-known science fiction stories and novels that did whose predictions have since been realized. One of the most famous, many people know already, is Arthur C. Clarke, made famous, probably most famous, by his novel 2001, A Space Odyssey, and his film, the film he co-wrote with Stanley Kubrick, 2000, also of the same name, 2001, A Space Odyssey. Clarke was an author of science fiction who began writing in what's called the Golden Age of science fiction, that is the late 1930s, and beginning in the late 1930s and continuing through the late 1940s. Clarke predicted many things. One of them is the place we put communication satellites. It is geosynchronous orbit. That is an orbit over the equator in which a satellite makes a single orbit in a day, thus remaining over the same spot on Earth for as long as it's in orbit. So when you're on Earth and you look at that satellite, it doesn't seem to be moving. Clark called it a Clark orbit, and many people after him called it a Clark orbit. He joked that he should have patented the idea. Not sure you can patent something like that. But anyway, at any rate, we do owe the introduction of that idea to a science fiction writer. That's, one might say, a positive effect of science fiction. There are not so positive effects of science fiction. Another a writer, a famous writer of the Golden Age, is, of course, Isaac Asimov. Asimov is famous, among other things, for his books and novels about the robots, the robot series. And he dealt, many of his stories involved robots that somehow had an effect, not always a positive effect, on humans. And he introduced something he called the laws of robotics, that is, laws that we as a society would have to introduce if we were to allow robots to have some play in our everyday lives. This is the three laws of robotics, quoted from the Handbook of Robotics, 56th edition, 2058 AD. I happen to have a copy with me. Three laws here. First law, a robot may not injure a human being or through inaction allow a human being to come to harm. Second law, a robot must obey the orders given it by human beings except where such orders would conflict with the first law. Third law, a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second laws. Now, since Asimov wrote that, alas, people have been killed by robots. The first person killed by an industrial robot lost his life in 1979, and there have been more since. And of course, the issues raised by this are the issues raised by autonomous automobiles. And so we're hearing a lot about this these days, and we're likely to continue to hear more about this. Speaking of robots, incidentally, a lot of recent science fiction, the 2013 movie Her involves a human being who falls in love with an artificial intelligence played by Scarlett Johansson. The movie again is called Her, 2013. This would seem to be a rather new idea. Surprisingly not. Lester Del Rey in 1938 published a story called Helen Olloy about an inventor who creates a female robot and proceeds to fall in love with her. It's a love story between a man and a robot. Again, that was surprisingly 1939. Science fiction of the 50s and 60s. Well, the science fiction of the Golden Age in the 50s and 60s beyond the Golden Age was on the most part optimistic. I'm making a generalization. There is some very dystopian science fiction in that era too. But on the whole, I think it's fair to say it was optimistic. And the protagonists of the stories met with problems they could solve with a little knowledge of thermodynamics or orbital mechanics or engineering of some sort. So many of them had happy endings. And maybe it's not surprising that Elon Musk, founder of SpaceX, and Jeff Bezos, founder of Blue Origin, were both science fiction fans as teenagers, and were much influenced, and we'll say they're much influenced by the science fiction of the 1960s. Whatever else you might want to say about them, they are optimists. So this optimism continues, and I'm speaking generally here, well into the 1960s. And in many ways, Star Trek embodied that. The Star Trek, I'm speaking here, the classic Star Trek, what fans of Star Trek call the classic Star Trek, the series, the first series that began in 1966. It was determinedly optimistic. It involved, as we all know, peoples from Earth, a range of ethnicities and races, and of course, not only a united Earth, but a united federation of planets. And peoples not only from Earth, but from other planets, uniting to as it were, seek out new life, new civilizations, and also solve a lot of problems on the way. Star Trek influenced many scientists and engineers, and they will say this. One Star Trek fan was a young African-American woman named Mae Jemison. And Mae Jemison was particularly inspired by the character Lieutenant Uhura, also African-American. Jemison would become a NASA astronaut. And in 1992, she flew aboard the space shuttle Endeavour, becoming the first African-American woman to enter space. A lot of engineers will talk about how Star Trek influenced them, and many Star Trek technologies have been realized. Many of them, we might say, are design technologies, not so much technical. That is, the communicators of Star Trek are a kind of a flip phone design. The screen in sick bay above the beds in sick bay. Are a design, but you will see these in many intensive care units and many hospitals nowadays. Other ideas from Star Trek, that is, faster than light travel and teleportation, of course, are not realized and perhaps may never be realized, but there are physicists who are thinking about these. So in fact, they are discussed in some deal in some detail, at least in theoretical papers. Science fiction of the 1970s in some ways moved away from this optimism into some darker territory. You had authors like Harlan Ellison and Philip K. Dick exploring the dangers of technology and society somehow gone wrong, all manner of dystopias. You also had a number of women writers began to enter the field, make their mark in the field this time too. Ursula Le Guin, Margaret Atwood, thought to be a mainstream writer who does write, I think most would say, science fiction as well. A lot of what they were talking about, we're seeing more and more of. I mean, a lot of what they're talking about is seen more and more in science fiction of our own time. The problems with privacy in an electronic age, the degradation of the environment, all manner of dystopia. And of course, this science fiction, of course, is not limited to short stories and print or novels and short stories. A lot of it is on television and, of course, in movies now. And the Netflix series Black Mirror does a lot, explores these, as the title suggests, these darker issues in more detail. But the science fiction in the 30s and 40s, and even right into the 50s, was a kind of a literary backwater. Some would call it a kind of literary backwater. It wasn't respectable by the respect much respected by the literary establishment, insofar as there is one, and that has changed as well. A lot of we'd call the mainstream writers, even writers who are respected by the literary establishment, are writing what anyone would call science fiction. So a lot of the golden age science fiction isn't lost. I should also say it's not lost. A lot of it is being revived and presented in television scripts and film scripts. Asimov's I, Robot was a film starring Will Smith just a few years back. And Arthur C. Clarke's Childhood's End was made into a series. So nothing seems to be lost. They are, television and movies are really going through the old stuff making because so much of it, frankly, is very good. But we're seeing more science fiction, as I say, gone mainstream. The reasons for this may be complex, or maybe they're not. One reason is certainly that the readers of science fiction, the fans of science fiction, are now adults and in positions of power, so they can do it. Another reason may be simply that we are living in a world that seems more and more like science fiction. Technological change is happening at an increasingly greater rate, and science fiction may comfort us in some odd way, in that it allows us to anticipate the change, get ready for it, adapt to it, or you might say pre-adapt to it. It's always been influential, and if current trends continue, it looks as though they will for a while, it's likely to stay very influential. Thank you.